How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every single day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, the list goes on and on. This is the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world, and yes, it is daily. Aside from the Monday through Friday and Saturday Sunday live show, Saturday we do have a replay 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, as well as Monday through Friday at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Sunday's show replays Monday morning, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern. 20 hours of Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline USA every week. And Sundays is the special two-hour edition of the show. It's the weekend wrap-up. It is the weekly preview show. And it is open lines. We're going to be taking your phone calls later on in the show today. Anything that you can think of that is related to pro wrestling or mixed martial arts, you can talk about at 855-478-4478. Once again, that is 855-478-4478. And also this time, you are welcome to call and talk about boxing, because last night was the fight of the century, as they are calling it. Mayweather versus Pacquiao. Shattered, I think, every single record that it is possible to shatter. We're probably talking the buy rate record here. We're talking the revenue record. We're probably talking the free streaming record as well, even though Pacquiao and Mayweather did go to court weeks in advance to try to shut down streaming sites that they figured were going to be broadcasting this show. I think virtually every single person on the planet either heard about the fight or saw the fight. And we're going to be talking about the fight, the ramifications for boxing, and so much more on the program today. Plus, there is so much news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as there is every single day here on this program. We will be previewing the week here. We can talk about SmackDown. Just finished watching that show. I'll be doing another show tonight, talking Impact and Ring of Honor as well. So plenty of stuff to talk about on the show today, and we'll be back in just a moment to do so. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We got plenty of news to talk about here on the program. 2 hours to do it today. And we are not opening up the phone lines yet. We're probably going to kick that off here in the second segment of the show. But since a lot of the same people call every week, I'm going to expand the calling options as of today's show. So listen carefully. This show is being aired right now on Sirius Satellite Radio as well as Sports Byline Affiliate. So if you're listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, you probably see 1-800-878-PLAY listed as the phone number. And of course, we give out the number 855-478-4478, both numbers toll free. So what we're going to do is we are going to open up both of the phone lines later on today. Don't call yet. I'm not going to pick up the phones. But we're going to offer both of those phone numbers as well as the Skype line. The Skype line will remain Sports Byline 2. Do not use the F4W Online Skype line. I'm not picking that one up. Sports Byline 2 is going to be the number if you want to give us a call on Skype as well. I'll throw all of those out in the second segment, but we got to get into the news here today, Mike. Floyd Mayweather beating Manny Pacquiao in the fight of the century. The fight itself from start to finish, well, wasn't really much of a fight. I know that some people were very, very upset. I don't even watch a lot of boxing, and pretty much I knew going in exactly how the fight was going to go, and that was, in fact, exactly how the fight went, which was 12 rounds of Manny trying to hit Floyd, largely being unsuccessful, and then Floyd hitting him and winning a decision. I think Manny ended up winning 4 rounds on my card. I think 2 of the judges agreed with that as well. But it was pretty much the fight that everybody expected. I don't think there's really any news coming out of it fight-wise. The big news is all of the broken records, which we're probably going to find out about in the next week now. We're talking probably a brand new pay-per-view record. There were pay-per-view providers who claimed that this did many times, not like double. They claimed many times the numbers of orders that they got for the Floyd Mayweather-Oscar De La Hoya fight. I know that the pay-per-view systems around the company went down. They had to delay the fight almost 40 minutes while people tried to figure out a way to watch the show. Sports bars that actually showed the fight were absolutely packed. Everybody had people over. And my feeling kind of is that everybody around the country essentially did what I did, which was you tried to find a place to watch it, and then you tried to find a friend, And everybody claimed that they weren't going to spend $100 on it. And everybody kept, it was almost like a game of you know, whatever they call it when the two cowboys are going to pull the trigger. What do they call that, Mike?
Well, like the
draw?
The 10 steps in the draw. Yeah,
sure. It was like everybody was waiting to pull the trigger and no one was going to pull the trigger. And then at like 8 o'clock, everybody was like, all right, fine. And they bought the pay-per-view. And the rest is history, Mike. I guess we'll find out exactly how big this fight really is in the next couple of days. But I guess your thoughts on the fight itself as our resident boxing expert.
You know, I'm not a bright man, as you can see right there, because I couldn't even remember what a duel was.
A duel.
But the narrative to that whole deal with, oh my God, so many people are crawling in, we have to delay the fight, started taking place earlier on in the day and the night before, when cable companies began to send out blasts saying, you gotta order early because I don't know if the system will be able to handle everything.
Hey, so they were
I'm not throwing too much shade on this, except for the fact that I am. Did this fight break records? Absolutely. But basically, I looked at that. Now, there could have been some other reason that the delay was as long as it was, but I just kind of look at that as it's one last push to try to extract money out of people's pockets, possibly, you know, especially for the people that you mentioned, Brian, who were hoping somebody else would get it. They had a little bit more of than a passing interest in it. You know, they could watch it, but they don't want to go all out. And then finally, they just sat there and, you know, they got blasted so much with it. They went, F it. I'm getting it, too. And they decided to go ahead and order it. And it's, to me, it was just one last push. And anybody that's upset about how the fight ended up, I'm sorry. It's 2015. Even if you are not a fan, if you had enough of a interest.
He's had 48 fights, exactly the same.
Yes. If you had enough of an interest to get this fight, you know what Floyd Mayweather brings to the table, and his skills are unparalleled. His defense is a throwback. It's amazing. His speed, how he's able to use his reach. You're not looking for fistic fury out of Floyd Mayweather, and anyone who expects that, well, you're an idiot. You spent $100 to go to the ball last night. You spent $100 to go to the big event, you know, Washington, D.C. They have these things all the time where, you know, there's athletes there and politicians, and there's a lot of glad handing going on. You're paying to go to the foundation dinner. And you got to eat, you got to drink in most cases if you were with friends that were splitting this. You got to hang out and party. You got to be in with all of these other people. That's what you were paying for. You were paying for the experience. And anyone that complains about that, you had more than enough time going into this fight because of people like Keith Olbermann that brought up the fiasco that is Floyd Mayweather's life and life with women. You had people coming out hard against Mayweather. You had reasons to not root for Manny Pacquiao if you so chose. You had every way out of this fight if you did not want to order it, and you had a built-in excuse. It may sound preachy, or you may sound preachy to somebody, but you had an excuse to not order this fight. So if you ordered this fight and then had some sort of buyer's regret, I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you.
Let me ask you about the immediate aftermath when Floyd Mayweather was talking about how I'm going to do one more fight. I'm going to fight in September and then I'm out of here. And Floyd, of course, is it 48-0. And so if he wins in September, he's at 49-0. Now, Floyd
would tie Rocky Marciano's quote unquote the champion record for a champion retiring undefeated.
That's right. So he's a smart guy. Floyd is no idiot in terms of promotion. When I heard him say that, I thought, why would you retire at 49-0 and not 50-0? That doesn't make any sense to me. And I was thinking about it, and all I can figure, and maybe I'm out of my mind, is that he is going to build up this September fight as his supposed retirement fight, because the retirement of Floyd Mayweather, if he's got a decent opponent, it's going to do big business. So then he announces his retirement, and everybody will be talking about the Rocky Marciano record and why didn't he do one more. And somebody somewhere is going to want to promote the fight if he can find the right opponent where he goes for 50-0. He goes to break the record. It's a big fight. I think it's all a way to try to get two more fights out of this as opposed to just the last one on his contract.
Oh, of course. And the thing is, this last fight that he has is the last, fight number 49 would be the last one under the CBS Showtime deal. And I tell you what, I know money has been made and everything, and there's no regret right now. But leading into this, there had been a lot of regret expressed by some people over that contract and, you know, all of the things that they've done for Floyd Mayweather Jr. And it didn't exactly come back in spades and pay-per-view buys. It wasn't exactly what CBS had really been hoping for. Again, no failure by any means because you have Floyd Mayweather and he makes this kind of money. But there was some regret there. But that's the last fight on that deal. And no matter what, as we've seen, until this train stops, nothing is going to stop Mayweather until it actually stops. So there's going to be interest in him again. Can you imagine for that 50th fight, the bidding war that would take place? Does HBO want to get back involved in this? Does a network, you know, Al Haymon, his manager, who has started to get boxing now on these time buys on NBC, on Spike, on, you know, do you make it the network spectacular? Floyd Mayweather, TBE, with a whole week's worth of programming leading into this mega Saturday night, and you do it again because that's the talk. What is boxing going to do? How are we going to have an event like this again? Well, there's the perfect way you can have that event.
Can anyone beat this guy? I mean, my impression is no. And I know a lot of people were really pulling. I mean, everybody's pulling for Manny just for personal reasons because so many people don't like Floyd. But as a sporting person, I mean, I wouldn't have put any money on Manny. I mean, maybe a little bit just because maybe you would see the upset, but I don't think anybody can beat the guy. We'll talk more about this after the break and open up the phone lines as well. 855-478-4478 as well as 855 or 800-878-PLAY. I'll get the number right one of these days. Back in a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And also, live from the Sports Byline Studios, Jerry Burke is joining us here. Sports Overnight America host, longtime Sports Byline personality. Jerry, what's going on?
How are you doing this afternoon? Sunday is a daytime. Do you know the sun comes up in the east every day, I found out?
I was aware of that only because I don't have blinds in my bedroom, and it flashes in there every morning and wakes me up. Yes, Jerry is here, everybody. Producer Jerry, today we were discussing during the break Floyd Mayweather, and I made the comment that I don't think there's anybody that can beat Floyd, and we got into the big argument about what does it mean to be the best? And Jerry, you were very passionate about this.
Here's the argument I have. Just because you're undefeated, does that necessarily make you the best? And I'm going to give a couple of examples. I'm going to swing this over, keep it in boxing real quick. Rocky Marciano, of course, he retired undefeated. Does that was he the best heavyweight champion of all time? He's probably if he's even in the top five, he's lucky. The Miami Dolphins went undefeated in 1972, won Super Bowl VII. Were they the best football team of all time? Of course they weren't. The Seattle Mariners hold the record for the most regular season wins back, 10, 12 years ago. Were they the best baseball team of all time? Of course they weren't. The argument I'm trying to make, I mean, is just because you have the paperwork that says you're the best, that doesn't necessarily make you the best. Do you think Mayweather was better than Sugar Ray Robinson, who lost like half a dozen or 10 fights or something like that? Of course he wasn't. That's the argument I'm trying to make. And there are people out there, who, you know, especially in the media, who can't see past the tip of their pens, who will write this down as if it's gospel. And, of course, we live in a society right now where what the headline says must be the truth. So Mayweather's undefeated. That means he must be the best. And people are so dumb. And Bill Maher's right. This is a dumb society that they're buying into that. And I don't understand why people aren't discussing more of the fact that, yes, it looks nice on paper, but it doesn't really mean what you say it means. That's the argument and discussion I'm trying to get started here.
But would you agree that of the current crop, it is unlikely that anyone is beating Mayweather right now?
And exactly. And the other, you know, the Buffalo Bills went to four straight Super Bowls because the AFC, they're Division I college teams that probably could have played in the AFC title game against the Bills. The competition isn't what it could have been in different eras. Hell, this fight that took place on Saturday should have taken place 5 years ago. And had it taken place 5 years ago, I'm convinced that as far as, people want to raise people's consciousness, 5 years ago, Manny Pacquiao would have separated Floyd Mayweather from his consciousness. You see what I'm saying? He is so hell-bent on keeping a perfect record, I think that he's cheapening the belt. I honestly believe that. Nothing against the guy. He can fight. Please don't. I'm not taking anything away from him. But because he's so hell-bent on keeping a record, he's cheapening it. He's going out of his way to do anything not to blemish it, and that to me is akin to sidestepping people. I truly
believe
that.
Well, one of the big complaints about Floyd Mayweather from over the years has always been they are very strategically timed fights. Not in every single last one of them, but there have been very careful fights at good times against good people that resulted in good business. I mean, his pay-per-view career started with Arturo Gatti, who, you know, there was no way Gatti was going to win that fight. That whole fight was set up for Mayweather to get a big win. You know, I don't want to say Gatti was doing the job, but it was perfectly set up. And that's always been a complaint against Floyd Mayweather. Not to say, you know, he couldn't have beaten these guys before.
It's a legitimate bitch they have against him. It's a legitimate argument.
It is, and now we're out of people. I mean, there's money fights that can be made as far as making money. If he decided to go over to Wembley and actually fight Amir Khan, it would be a huge, huge fight. That's what's going to get him the most money.
And I had Pedro Fernandez from Ring Talk Live on with me on Sports Overnight America on Thursday evening, and he made a valid point. Was, you know, Mayweather he refuses to step up one weight class to take on Khan. He would get his head handed to him had he done that. And to me, that is truly it's borders on cowardice. It does. I'm not saying he's a coward.
He did fight Cotto, and essentially when he fought Cotto, and granted, Cotto has been in a lot of wars, but he actually decided to do a little bit of risk and actually throw hands with Miguel Cotto. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because let's just say that we go through what Brian was talking about, what we talked about in the first segment. He goes to 49-0, and now we're time for the 50th fight. If he wanted to do the best possible business, if he is still around and still blowing people away, hooking up with Gennady Golovkin, now I'm sure Mayweather would have to somehow get an Al Haymon would have to get an interest in Triple G to make that happen. But that fight in a stadium, if you really wanted to have risk for the last fight and doing, you know, going out and doing the job and really, you know, nailing yourself down as a great, beating Gennady Golovkin at 160 pounds or 154 pounds would probably be a good way to do it and a good way to end your career. But outside of that, what else is there? You know, Keith Thurman, that's not going to, you know, nobody cares about that.
He doesn't seem like he's going after challenges. There are ways he could, you know, go up a weight class, maybe down one, and fight better competition. He just refuses to do it.
Well, I say, and won't do it. And the fact is, there's nobody left money-wise where anybody would care about the fight. And then, again, except for Golovkin. There's Golovkin, there's Khan, you know, Kell Brook and people like that. They're not going to get the public excited anyway, so it really won't matter.
And on an aesthetics point, the fight on Saturday night, I'll be honest, it was kind of a yawner. And here's why. He's more interested in not losing. You see what I'm saying? He's not so much trying to win. He's trying not to lose.
Well, and he's never wanting to get hit. I mean, he's great at what he does.
Right, and what I'm saying is, if you're going to go pay X amount of dollars for a pay-per-view or, you know, a King's Ransom for a ringside seat, you're going to watch a guy who's not so much trying to win, but trying not to lose. And there is a difference between the two. And
well, that's true.
But that's sort of been his style the entire time.
Yes. And that's
it's not like anything has changed here in this fight.
No, yeah. And that's where people have to look at themselves. Because if they're complaining about that, at this point, tough. There's nobody who just fell off the turnip truck and decided, oh, God, who's this Floyd guy and should I buy him on pay-per-view? You know,
there may have been a lot of those last night, actually.
Yeah, and there's no way a fight could do what this fight's going to do pay-per-view-wise anyway. But you know, how much does he fall back for the next fight against no matter who it is? Because there are people who are turned off and say, okay, I'm never going to pay for this guy again. And does it get, you know, 500,000 buys? I doubt it. I'm sure it would still probably get at least 750,000, 800,000 because that's what Floyd has been doing outside of his mega fights that he's had under the Showtime deal. So I guess we're all to see. But again, you know, to argue Floyd Mayweather, he can call himself you know, the best ever because he's got the, you know, the TBE, you know, license. That doesn't, like Jerry said, doesn't make him the best ever. And you could think, you know, forget about Sugar Ray Robinson. There are people that would say Sugar Ray Leonard is,
Roberto,
you know,
Duran would have decapitated this guy.
Yeah, Duran and his
Hagler,
prime, I mean,
Hagler would have had his next of kin showing up to pick up his paycheck.
Well, see, if Hagler could catch him, because that's what the argument would be. But any of the Henry Armstrong, Harry Greb, when you go back that far, the Ketchels, you know, Archie Moore, guys like that, you know, is Mayweather great? Yes, he is. Is he, you know, is this great debate that people have? I heard on ESPN last night, guys were all going hard at each other, you know, over who they thought the best ever was, and it became a hot point, you know. Because, hey, that's when boxing's great. It can stoke people's emotions, and you get those type of barbershop debates, and that's what makes it great. But, you know, Floyd Mayweather, a top 15, 20, yeah, I guess you can make the argument. It's just probably not going to be in mine. I give him a lot of credit, but there's so many great fighters and a lot that were better offensively than Floyd Mayweather.
He's gotten into the ring with basically the best that's been offered in front of him. Maybe he sidestepped a few things for some time, but okay, I'll give him credit.
But who doesn't
for that.
In this, you know?
In this era, yes, there are people who don't. I mean, there are. I mean, but it's just, God, I got to do my job now. You guys
Gary,
argue about
plug your show before
Sports
you go.
Sports Overnight America. It's TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Sirius, and XM Channel 92. I'm on Sunday through Fridays, 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific time. The Unmitigated Disaster of a Radio Show with our normal cast of characters, 1-800-878-7529. And we will determine early on in the program what type of olives I have with my martinis. Thank you.
There you go. And that's producer Jerry, everybody. Jerry Burke, Sports Overnight America. And before we finish wrapping up this segment here, I just want to bring up the true highlight of the night, which was when the fight was over and Max Kellerman was interviewing Pacquiao. And Pacquiao said that he thought he won the fight. And Max Kellerman said something to the effect of, "What? You thought you won?" He just could not believe that this man actually thought that he won the fight. That, to me, was the highlight of the evening.
I would have figured the highlight for you was the Burger King coming out with Floyd.
Oh, I didn't even see the Burger King.
Yes, so God knows how much money was spent.
Did he really come out with Floyd?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I literally started watching as the anthems were playing or whatever. I was listening to the anthems. What I did, believe it or not, as I was
did the Filipino anthem kind of sound like a Disney song?
All I know, it may have. I was trying desperately to actually watch it at the last minute because it was one of those deals where I wasn't going to get it. No one I knew was going to get it. And there was nowhere in Bothell that was playing it. And I had resigned myself to the fact that I was just going to listen to the play-by-play on BBC One or BBC Five. I can't remember which it was. But
Live Five?
Yeah, I was listening to the play-by-play on the BBC and they're playing the national anthem and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, I was like, dude, this is history. This is my job. I got to watch this fight. And so I scrambled to get it like 9 million other people, I'm sure, did. And I ended up watching the fight itself, which apparently I missed the best part if the Burger King came out.
I love BBC Live 5, by the way. I've heard Hatton fights.
They were great.
Yes, and I'm glad Sirius, I hear the music, but I'm glad Sirius XM is in the business. That's one of the pluses of this Al Haymon deal is with Premier Boxing. Is Sirius XM getting back into the old radio broadcast business of boxing. I love it.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up here. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Time to start talking pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, and opening up the phone lines. As noted earlier today, we're going to do something a little different today, taking phone calls in a number of different places. The main number, 855-478-4478. That's the usual Wrestling Observer Live number, 855-478-4478. Also using the toll-free Sports Byline USA number, which is 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-PLAY. We're also going to be taking calls on the Skype line, which you can access at Sports Byline 2. We're going to be taking calls throughout the program here today. Any topic on your mind, open lines here today. And Mike, are you aware that Hulk Hogan went on the WWE tour of Australia and during a press conference, he has claimed that he told Vince McMahon, "I will be wrestling at WrestleMania next year." And he says Vince McMahon shook his hand and said, I'll be excited to see it or something like that. I can't remember what Vince McMahon said, but it was a Vince McMahon saying. What do you make of this?
Be good to have you there, pal. I make of it that Hulk Hogan had a microphone in front of his face in a foreign country and needed something to say. I'm sure he'd like to be. He may even, in fact, be, you know, if they can somehow, you know, create the technology that can make Hulk Hogan's hips strong. Great. And it's Cowboy Stadium. It's going to be huge. Everything about that WrestleMania is going to be over the top massive. As well, it should be, because why not? But can his body actually hold out to do that? We don't know that. You know, nobody knows that. He doesn't, I'm sure, even know it. I'm sure he really wants to do this, but if it doesn't end up happening, it just can be put into a category of another thing that Hulk Hogan has said.
Here's the situation, everybody. No matter what Hulk Hogan wants to do, he's got to get cleared physically if he wants to get back into the ring. And Hogan has claimed that his back is good as new, but of course that is a Hulk Hogan claim. What I do know is, from talking to people that have been around Hogan, he's moving better. So I don't necessarily think that means that his back is 100%. I know that when you...
Hey, your grandmother's moving better after breaking her hip.
Hey,
she is.
She's thrown away the cane. That is an improvement. But yes, you're right. She would not get cleared to wrestle at WrestleMania. So believe me, if there were a way for Hulk Hogan to get back into the ring at Mania 32 at Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium, I guarantee Hulk Hogan would want to do it. I guarantee Vince McMahon would want it. Because Vince McMahon is trying to sell 100,000 tickets or 90,000 tickets or whatever. Do I think it's actually going to happen? My feeling is it probably will not. But hey, he says he's good as new, so.
Maybe. You know, too bad they can't, I don't know what, actually Texas has got crazy, it's a Wild West show down there as far as the athletic commission goes. You know, if Hulk Hogan was in Nevada, though, he could get all shot up full of lanacane and be completely numb getting in there.
Yeah, tell everybody that story. It's fascinating.
I never looked at the list, I guess, or I just had never thought about this before. Manny Pacquiao is claiming that he suffered, you know, always the great excuse after a fight, you know, in that boxing or MMA. It seems that I guess I hear it more boxing as far as, you know, the unbelievability of it. I was hurt in training, and Manny Pacquiao had a hurt right shoulder, I believe it was. I got an MRI on it a couple weeks ago, but, you know, fighters heal faster than normal men. And like Freddie Roach said in the press conference, you know, things seem to be getting better every day. But Bob Arum was still pushing this injured shoulder. And Manny Pacquiao, I guess what Bob Arum is claiming is Pacquiao was cleared by WADA, who does or came in to do the Nevada testing or oversee it, however this is working. They got the okay from them. But Nevada is saying, since he did not do his pre-fight screener, where you're supposed to check off any boxes that may need attention or you may need medicine for going into the fight, because Pacquiao did not do that, he was not allowed to get an ibuprofen shot into his right shoulder, which supposedly hampered him during the fight. I don't believe that it did. I don't think most people believe that it did, unless you're, you know, in the, you know, somewhere in the Philippines right now. You're not going to believe that. But this is what they're claiming. But what you are able to do in Nevada is get your hand shot up with lanacane, which I didn't realize that. So you can get your hand shot up with benzos so they're completely numb, because that's what it is. It's a local anesthetic that works as a numbing agent, and you can have your hands completely numb, but you can't get a shot of ibuprofen. It just seemed to be a surprise. I guess maybe this is something I've heard before and hadn't thought about, and I'm not shocked by it or outraged or anything like that, but I was actually very surprised that would fly. You know, as far as being, because even though both guys are getting it or would have the option to get it, in theory, is that not a aid to helping you fight? I mean, there's nothing worse than breaking your hands. Now,
well, Pacquiao said he didn't fight as well because he didn't have his ibuprofen. That would be a yes.
Well, and lots of look, boxers for years, like in Arturo Gatti, once you, the line is, once you break your hand, doesn't matter. You keep throwing it, you know, unless it, you know, very few times does it hurt that bad where you just can't continue to throw it because it can only hurt so much and then it starts to numb itself on its own. But aren't you both getting shot up with that and aid to having you go out there and fight? But ibuprofen would not be something.
I just liked when
whether you checked off a box or not. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I like the headline I saw today. Sadness in the Philippines after Pacquiao loss. It's like, really? This headline news story here?
Well, it's like, what now? What happens for Manny Pacquiao? And I, you know, I've made the joke that he's turned into a Macau, you know, club fighter at the Venetian, you know, because they seem to really want to open up China for interest in pay-per-view. And I'm not going to blame Pacquiao for this. I think he's the perfect guy to be the, you know, if he's going to fight for years and I could actually see him doing that. With how many people rely on him for money, I could actually see him fighting in Macau for as long as Top Rank wants him to and as long as he can actually, you know, stand on his feet to fight.
All right, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Yes, Ryan.
Yeah, I want to give her the Queen of the Ring tournament that was held last night.
What a great change of pace.
Awesome.
Well, get going, dude.
The person that won was Mary Elizabeth Monroe, who I once proposed to in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia.
What did she say?
Hold on a second. You asked her to marry you.
Supposedly, because she did an interview not too long ago, and she mentioned it during one of the questions, so it must be true.
So what did she say when you proposed?
No.
Oh. I'm stunned.
Did you ask her to consummate the marriage anyway?
Yeah.
I think she's married to B.J. Whitmer, but I'm not sure.
So you think she may have been married, but you proposed anyway?
I don't think she was married to him at the time.
So. I see. So she chose B.J. Whitmer over to you. Does that bother you?
Well, I can't confirm that she's married to him, but I assume she is because I once tried to flirt with her on Twitter, and she sent it to B.J., so I assume that's her husband.
Oh, so she was saying, hey, look what this guy's saying about me.
Right.
So B.J. is after you.
I'm not sure if he thought it was funny or not.
Are you sure the BJ's B doesn't stand for Brian?
Possible.
So who else was in the Queen of the Ring tournament?
Samantha Starr was in it. He was Jake the Snake's niece, but she lost in the first round.
That's too bad.
To who?
She lost to Samantha Heights. It was the battle of the Samanthas.
You should never book two Samanthas against each other. They should know that at Queen of the Ring. Any other highlights from the event, Ryan?
One of Mike's favorite wrestlers, Dylan Bostic, led a team against Super Oprah, but unfortunately, he lost the match.
In New York.
Do you know, Mike, are you aware of this wrestler that he said is one of your favorites?
Yes, well, Dylan Bostic has been around for a while. I'm more interested in Super Oprah, and I hope that Super Oprah comes out to the old Oprah theme music, the one that was produced by Quincy Jones. I mean, what music does Super Oprah come out to?
He's long gone, I'm afraid. I believe the last time he said that you had a favorite, you had no idea what he was talking about. That's why I had to clarify whether you knew who that person was.
I don't know what he's talking about most of the time.
We got a caller on the line from New York on the Byline line. You're on the air. Who is this?
Gilbert from New York City.
What's happening?
I have two questions. Why TNA is not on Spike TV, and what happened to my TNA? And I'll take my question over the air.
All righty. Well, they left Spike TV at the end of 2014. They are now on Destination America. And Mike Tenay was moved to a position where he was doing interview segments as well as tweeting during another show that they were doing on Saturday mornings. But apparently that show was doing well, and so they got rid of it. And so then we had the Friday night show, and now Mike Tenay is not on that show anymore. And then Taz quit, which left Josh Matthews without a broadcast partner. And instead of having Mike Tenay do the job, Josh Matthews is instead just doing the show by himself. So I don't know what's going on with Mike Tenay, but we're hoping to have him on this program within the next couple of weeks, so maybe he can answer that question for himself.
I've got nothing to add.
I'm watching that show tonight, Mike, TNA, and I'm going to find out how Josh is doing by himself. as I believe he's still solo at this point. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Now you're on the air.
This is Tyler from Chicago.
What's up, Tyler?
Raw's in Montreal tomorrow, right?
Yes.
So would it be a terrible idea to have Kevin Steen and Sami Zayn on the show?
Yes.
Like, they have this pay-per-view coming up, and then they're going on tour with NXT. Just create brand awareness, have like a tag match, like the two champions, like Rollins and Owens against Zayn and like Roman Reigns.
So not like a debut, but just an appearance.
Yeah, just like an appearance. Just like promote awareness of the brand.
I'll tell you why I agree with Mike when he said no. Because every time they've had somebody just make an appearance on Raw, and not like a debut like Adrian Neville, but they did it with Charlotte. I think they've had a couple of other guys. I think Sami Zayn had a match once on Raw, and he didn't get an entrance, if I recall correctly. It's always a disaster. So I'd actually prefer if they didn't use those guys on television, because I don't think it would end correctly.
I would like, you'd have to give them to me, give them the main event segment of that. And you could have somebody out there, like a Cena or somebody there to give, you know, some shine to the proceedings. But unless the angle is like, you know, Owens pile drives Zayn through a table at the end, you know, where there's that much impact to have them on Raw, I don't trust them to do anything else. And like Brian's saying, their rep isn't good with this anyway. You know, Sami Zayn's been on there before, but still, I want him when he actually comes back on there. And Kevin Owens, even like Finn Balor, that's why I've been a big proponent on, give him vignettes and really build up to this, you know, massive debut onto Raw. I think they need to do that with those guys. Otherwise, keep them off, because they don't need them for the tour. And the only thing it would be doing would be giving shine to them being from Quebec, which they're going to have anyway. I can see them being there because it's Pat Patterson Appreciation Night. So I'm sure they could have generations of guys there, and they could very well be there. I just don't want to see them on the air there.
When he called, I actually thought he was going to ask if there was going to be a Montreal screw job, if that would be a bad idea tomorrow night. And the answer to that remains yes.
Always.
That would
always
be a terrible, terrible idea. By the way, after we come back from the second hour, which is a while here, we're going to open up the phone lines, and I want to try something today. I'm going to ask you what your name is, and I also want to know how you're listening to the show. Are you listening on TuneIn Radio? Are you listening on iHeartRadio, Sirius, an over-the-air affiliate? Let me know. So we'll be doing that in the second hour. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Elver is here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got another hour coming up here, starting at the 7 o'clock hour Eastern, 4 Pacific. Be taking all of your calls, talking WWE Payback, which is coming up here in just a couple of weeks now, May 17th. We only got 2 weeks left before Payback. Two matches announced thus far, which we can talk about here on the show. Would like to plug, by the way, if you go to WrestlingObserver.com, every Friday we've been putting up classic audio, and we've been trying to find classic audio that ties into something that has happened over the course of any given week. So the classic audio on the website right now at WrestlingObserver.com is, in fact, a look at the Floyd Mayweather-Oscar De La Hoya fight on the Brian and Vinny show, which blew my mind, the idea that Vinny and I were talking about this fight with Admin Tony as our guest on the show. If you want to know how long ago this thing was, my nasally voice, May 8, 2007, the Brian and Vinny show, Mayweather De La Hoya. If you think you can stand it, it's up there right now for subscribers. And we're putting up classic audio every single week. That was quite the show to listen to, Mike. Vinny talking boxing.
I'm sure I listened to it. Yeah, that was a huge. I did a 5-part series. I mean, that, the attention for De La Hoya and Mayweather, honestly, that felt bigger to me in a lot of ways that week leading up to that one than this one did. I'm sure people will disagree, but yeah, massive fights of just in the last couple of years.
The lead up was definitely bigger for that one, but I think day of was bigger for last night's fight. We're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, more Wrestling Observer Live, a full hour of it here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every single day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, the list goes on and on. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And in the next hour, we're going to take your phone calls. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-PLAY, as well as 855-478-4478. Skype calls as well. Sports Byline 2 is the Skype handle if you want to contact us on Skype. And last night, not going to talk a lot about the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight in hour two since we spent a lot of time in the first hour, but this does kind of tie into it. When the fight was over, Triple H sent out a tweet. He says, at Floyd Mayweather, wow, just wow, masterful. Hashtag TMT, hashtag TBE, hashtag 48&0. Congratulations, Triple H said. And shortly thereafter, Michelle Beadle of ESPN and HBO, a huge WWE fan. She was the one there that questioned Brock Lesnar about his decision when he announced he was going back to the WWE. She tweeted, I have loved at WWE for a long time, but at Triple H and his love for a serial abuser is too much. I am turning in my fan card. Hashtag was fun while it lasted. Michelle Beadle quitting being a WWE fan as a result of Triple H supporting Floyd Mayweather, a serial abuser, she called him, last night after the fight. So I guess we'll see how this turns out. I know that WWE was in fact caught off guard by this, and I think you're probably going to get some sort of response from them that is going to try to hash things out with Michelle Beadle. They like knowing people in power, knowing people in sports. I don't think they're happy that she's turned in her fan card, but it's a story we can follow here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I got to get that thing updated. The phone number, 855-478-PLAY. Oh, gee, my God, how many numbers do I have here? 1-800-878-PLAY is the Sports Byline number. That's 1-800-878-PLAY. If you're listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, that's the one you see on your screen right now. That one works. As well as 855-478-4478. Both of those numbers are in effect today, as well as the Skype line, Sports Byline 2, if you want to contact us on Skype. Give us a call here. I am at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. Mike is at Semper Vivi, Sports Byline at Sports Byline USA. Mike, are you aware, today in history, in 1884, H.M. Dufour defeated James McLaughlin for the American Collar and Elbow title in Chicago, Illinois?
I did not know that.
Well, what is wrong with you?
I see history for me, as you have taught me over the years, began with Frank A. Gotch. So much past, you know, before 1905, the Muldoons of the world, the Abraham Lincolns of the world. I am reliant upon Carl Stern, who does a great show, the Carl Stern Classic Wrestling Audio Show on the website. It is really, honestly, pound for pound, the best show on that site. And he can talk to you, to everyone about those things. I can't tolerate all of that stuff. So I need to just wait and go with Gotch and Hackenschmidt and Roller. From that point on, I'm fine. But anything before that, you know, any of the carnival circuit, I got to leave that to Carl.
Fine. Are you aware that on this day in history, May 3rd, 1995, just a little more than a month before Figure Four Weekly was founded, I might add, the IWGP Tag Team Champion Keiji Muto defeated IWGP Heavyweight Champion Shinya Hashimoto to win the title, the IWGP title, in Fukuoka, Japan.
Keiji Muto is my favorite Japanese wrestler of all time.
Really?
Heavy is, well, here's why.
Hold on a second. Out of all of the Japanese wrestlers that you have seen, and you've watched them all as a longtime Japanese wrestling fan, your favorite Japanese professional wrestler is the Great Muta?
Yeah, you know, is he the greatest wrestler of all time? No. Is he historically the great? No. Is he, out of the three guys he came up with Chono and Hashimoto, is he even the most important out of those three when it comes to the history of Japanese wrestling and the money it made? No, but as a kid growing up in the Baltimore, Washington area, who was a very big Jim Crockett fan, just loved wrestling anyway, but was a big Crockett fan, and had a chance to see him as the Great Muta when he came in with Gary Hart, who was one of my favorite managers of all time, with Terry Funk, with Flair, who I had been watching for years. At the end, you know, with Steamboat, who I had been watching for years and years and years. With all of that coming together and him being involved and him just being so cool. Like, I had seen Kabuki for years on World Class and a little bit in Mid-Atlantic, but I remember mostly as a kid watching him from World Class, and, you know, he had the green paint, he had the mist, but it just, he had Gary Hart, but I didn't have the connection with him. They're, you know, two Japanese wrestlers from when I was little, Saito, and then really the Great Muta was always what I, you know, he was always just the coolest thing and was my first favorite Japanese professional wrestler. And yeah, that has kind of stuck with me, and his ability to evolve with the times. He plays the Great Muta to the least possible degree. When you see him in matches, talk about him being shot up with something, whatever painkillers and lubricant they have put in both of his knees to keep him going, where he can even be in a match to do one dragon screw leg whip, and he'll usually do, you know, the Shining Wizard, he'll usually do the moonsault, even though I can't figure out how he does it. His whole thing is the aura around him and the ring entrances that he uses now with the masks and these elaborate entrances. You know, he still has value to this day, even though he's completely immobile. And when it's time for him to do those four or five spots in the match, that's all anybody cares to see. That's what they want to see. And they're, you know, enthralled about it. So I know I can't be the only one. And there's so many great Japanese professional wrestlers from over the years who have had far more influence. But on me personally, I don't think there's been any.
So the Payback Show is coming up, everybody. This is 2 weeks from now, May 17. We've got Raw tomorrow. Probably the next couple of weeks, they'll just be building up, I would guess, more rematches. But the official lineup here, we've got John Cena versus Rusev in an I Quit match for the WWE United States title, as well as Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Randy Orton in a three-way for the WWE World Heavyweight title. I'm presuming this has to be the final John Cena-Rusev match, and I guess we'll see if we get your proposed finish of Lana quitting for Rusev and then he dumps her. I guess that would be the most likely scenario right there, which would also kind of save face for him after this would be his third straight loss in a row, if I recall correctly.
After he was F5'd in the last one and left laying in the middle of the ring.
That's right. So I think that that's probably a very likely scenario. And,
or not F5, what do they call it? What's Cena's? AA?
The AA, that's right.
Yes.
And then Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Randy Orton. Davis brought this up, that if Roman Reigns is not winning this match, we're getting that scenario we got with Ryback a couple of years ago, where they were trying to protect Ryback, and then they booked themselves into a corner with this Hell in a Cell match with an undefeated CM Punk. They were both undefeated going into it. At least Punk had been for the last year or so. And there had to be a winner. And actually, this ended up doing a great buy rate, because you essentially had two guys who had not been beaten in a year facing off in a Hell in a Cell match, and they beat Ryback. And from that point forward, they kept putting people, they kept putting Ryback in situations where he didn't win. And he's never been the same. And of course, one could argue, well, should Roman Reigns really be in this match if he's not going to win the title yet again? And really, the answer is it depends on how they book it. And I guess there is always a possibility that maybe he'll win.
I wouldn't have put him in there unless he was going to win. And Baltimore might be a pretty good crowd for him. I don't think it will be as bad as Ryback. I think you can get out of this with Reigns not getting the title, and still I don't think people will turn or anything like that. But it's not a guarantee either that they won't turn and completely shut down. Again, I don't think they would, But well, why would he be in the match then if you're not going to do that? You had the perfect out with Rollins and Orton to do that match again. You know, well, it's an SRO. No, you know, it's really an RKO. And you had a ways, convoluted ways to get to another Rollins-Orton match. Who cares if Seth Rollins beats Randy Orton again? It's not going to kill Randy Orton. You know, and there will be some sort of, you know, chicanery involved anywhere where Rollins wouldn't mend the match clean, anyway. I don't see how Randy Orton, it's not like it's going to kill him dead if he loses to Seth Rollins again in a singles match. There's no reason to bring Reigns into this other than, unless you're planning on doing something with Reigns and Orton after this where Rollins does a divide and conquer, which I think would be a big mistake too, because I don't think either one of those guys should be a heel or be perceived as a heel, and you just dodge that bullet with Reigns anyway, so I wouldn't want to do anything with those guys. So what is Reigns doing in this match other than to win it?
To the phones in Los Angeles, you're on the air. Who is this?
Brendan, how's it going?
Brendan, how are you listening to the show?
Through TuneIn and also through website.
All righty.
Not a first-time caller, my friend.
All right, what's on your mind?
All right, so here's real quick just two things. I agree with Mike 100% when it comes to, you know, that yes. When it comes to Great Muta, then it should be said that also Liger should be in there and so should Atsushi Onita. But, I mean, that's just my standpoint on that one.
All right.
Hey, that's fair as far as influence goes, because, you know, with Onita, you got the Puerto Rico ECW thing, and I mean, there's lots of reasons that guys are influential for different reasons. I remember as a little kid, Coliseum Video, that was the first time I ever saw Tiger Mask, the old WWF
ones. Awesome. I agree.
Well, listen, I want to thank you
100% with you.
I want to thank you very much for the call. Right, we'll head to a break right now. Mike can talk more about this when we come back from the break. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. Got some information, some preliminary information. This is not for crying out loud, WrestleMania is next year. Nothing is set in stone until it happens. But apparently Hulk Hogan's idea for a potential match, as we noted in the first hour, he announced on an Australian program that he had approached Vince McMahon about the idea of wrestling at WrestleMania next year. He said he was going to do it, he said, and Vince shook his hand and said he looked forward to it, I believe was Vince's response. But Hulk Hogan, apparently, one of his ideas that he's pitching is a tag team match, a legends match. And who the opponents would be, there have been some different stories. One suggestion is maybe some new guys coming up from NXT, which not exactly sure that's the best idea unless those guys are very, very talented. But I think that obviously a tag team match would allow Hulk Hogan to wrestle a match and not have to do a whole hell of a lot. It is to me significantly more likely that the guy could get clear to do a tag team match than to do a singles match. So I wouldn't be surprised if somehow that happened.
Generations, brother. I mean, can you imagine with NXT? I mean, what would you do? Would you have Hulk Hogan representing the 80s, have Steve Austin representing the Attitude Era, and then have, what, Sami Zayn? Because Vince McMahon's brain would be able to compute that, right? There's no way there's going to be somebody from NXT brought up and involved.
Hey,
unless,
listen, I know that Hogan does like Kevin Owens.
Yeah, well, great. And I could see Kevin Owens being on the heel side a lot easier than I can see them stomaching Sami Zayn. And again, that's not anything against Sami Zayn or anybody else on that roster. I just aesthetically, for, you know, how big they want this to be, I can't see it happening. Although, if I'm a professional wrestler and you wanted to hold the screws to WWE, why would you not want Sami Zayn there? I mean, he went on the voyage. He's done things that those guys have done by traveling the world and paying his dues and being incredibly talented and being so good and being, you know, seemingly part of this cream like the Daniel Bryans and CM Punks that have taken, you know, I think Sami Zayn, if given a little bit of hole of daylight to run through, he can bust through it. I feel the same about Kevin Owens as well. those other guys the same way. They got a little bit of cream, and even though WWE did everything they could to not have Daniel Bryan and CM Punk get to the levels they got to, they not only got to those levels, they exceeded them. You know, anything more than probably what they even thought they could do in WWE.
All I know is if Sami Zayn is not on the main roster by WrestleMania of next year, I'm going to be pretty angry.
Well, yeah. I would rather, Cesaro wouldn't work. Although, you know, again, you could do, to me, do 10 people. If you're going to do something like that, make it wacky and over the top and get as many names involved as you can for the thing. Because, again, how much is Hulk Hogan really going to be able to do?
He doesn't need to do a lot. He can get in and do a couple spots, make a tag.
Exactly.
Somebody else
run
gets in there.
Fist.
Well, no, someone else gets in there and gets, you know, they get the heat on the guy for 10 minutes, and then Hogan gets a hot tag, few punches, and tags another guy in for something. I mean, it can be done. I would prefer a tag match to a 10 man, just because I think when you get 10 men in there, it's just
I want a cartoon, damn it.
you'll get it one way or the other, but I think 10 men just kind of devalues the point of having Hulk Hogan in the match. He's just one of 9 other geeks. So, who knows? To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas.
Yes, John.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I was just trying to digest the prospect of Hulk Hogan in there.
With 9 other men?
Nobody ever wants to think about Hulk Hogan and 9 other men.
That's a lot of old guys. You know what they could do? Hey, hold on, John. Now I'm really thinking about this. They build this at the biggest WrestleMania of all time. The oldest match ever. You have 5 guys in excess of 50 years old, all on one side, a combined age of 300 years against 5 other men. The oldest match ever can be one of the headline matches at WrestleMania 32 at the AT&T Stadium. I like that idea.
He'll still be tan, brother.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, John.
I'm sorry. My brain nearly melted from the prospect of Hulk Hogan just physically even being there. I'm a Jim Crockett Promotions fan from years back, and Hogan just doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry. And I'm with Mike. Muta is one of my personal favorites, too, being that I grew up on that. And
hey, listen, I got nothing against the great Muta. The great Muta is great. The great Muta is great today. But I'm just saying, in the long and storied history of Japanese pro wrestling and all of the wonderful matches we've seen, I did not expect that Mike would list the great Muda as his favorite Japanese wrestler of all time. But he made a great argument.
Can you believe Mr. Saito would be number 2?
No, I don't believe that at all.
I loved him.
You're lying now.
I love Saito. I love Saito.
Listen, I love all sorts of guys, but he ain't number 2. He ain't above. He ain't above Minoru Suzuki.
You see, I know.
No, he's not.
I know. No, stop it. You stop it.
I will not stand for that argument.
Mm-mm-mm.
We're talking all over John's call. Go ahead, John.
Truthfully, if I was going to add my favorite, one of my favorite Japanese wrestlers, I have to go with Tatsumi Fujinami. You know, watching him and Ric Flair years ago and a couple of those bouts that they did, oh my God, it was just freaking crazy. And I would not want to take any chops from either Flair or Fujinami after watching those matches. Both of them looked like raw hamburger meat.
Oh, I'd take a chop. I want to thank you very much for the call. I'd take a chop from Ric Flair. The concern is not the chop from Flair. The concern is when you go to chop Flair and he turns his shoulder into it, you hurt your hand.
That's why you gotta really rear back and hit him with one of those Wahoo McDaniel chops, like because there is a chop, man. Growing up, Ronnie Garvin, Wahoo McDaniel, and I guess they had to deal with this because of like Johnny Valentine back in the day, you know. But Flair, all of those guys with those chops, and used to pick up the wrestling magazines like Pro Wrestling Illustrated and everything, and it would be like Magnum TA and Dusty Rhodes hanging out on the cover, and you just would see the scars in the head that they would have, and then the handprints going across the chest. And I know this still happens today and everything, but just the impact of those guys just killing each other with chops. Tully Blanchard always played a great little weasel, but he would get, I mean, you can't say anything about his toughness when he would have guys like Garvin and Wahoo just beating the crap out of him.
Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Matt in St. Louis. I'm listening on Sirius 92.
Sweet. What's going on, Matt?
Quick Greek Muta story. In the late 80s, I snuck backstage to before the matches at the famous Kiel Auditorium, and the first wrestler I saw was the Great Muta, and I walked up to shake his hand, and he gave me the wrestler handshake. And I didn't know what that was until I think within the past year, you and Dave were discussing the wrestler handshake. And when I was shaking his hand, it was almost like I was shaking his hand for him.
Yes. Yeah, in the old days, the wrestler handshake was you would give the lightest handshake that you possibly could because you were... essentially, the idea was back in the day when this sport was great, the idea was that you tried very, very hard to not touch your partner, but make it look like you were killing them. And so that was the light handshake. You were acknowledging, I'm a light worker, I'm safe. That was the old wrestler handshake. And apparently Kevin Nash, I guess it would have been in the 90s, decided that this was just, things needed to change. We need to have a firm handshake. And so now, if you go up and try to give somebody the wrestler handshake, it's apparently frowned upon. The new wrestler handshake is a nice, firm grip. So the business, once again, has passed me by at 39.
See, I would have figured the wrestler handshake was not only that, but also with the left hand, just to show that you were on the inside. You knew how to work from that side.
You could do that. But yeah. They never did that, but you could have made that argument. Anything else?
Last night in St. Louis and during the afternoon, Charter Cable, the internet went down in a good part of the area. And I'm assuming, since I've never heard of this happening, unless it was, say, a storm or a transformer went down, it was possible that the interest in people buying the fight late, like you mentioned, Brian, might have shut down our internet.
Well, I don't know about the internet. I'm not sure exactly how that would tie in, but I do know that certainly around... I mean, I got reports all night from people that were trying to order, and their cable company, the system was down. There was one guy that tweeted something. He was going to be on hold for 79 hours, I believe it said, as he was trying to order over
like
the phone.
Like downloading something in 1995.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly if taking the system down for pay-per-view orders can also take down the internet. Maybe it can.
Well,
yeah.
I just want to throw this out there too, not to sound even more cynical. You know,
never sound cynical, Mike.
Them going out to scramble feeds at 11 o'clock too, and to make sure online, because they were heavy against this leading into the fight, they were taking people down, you know, that just thought about advertising free streams, that they probably went hard after that too, and also use that time if, you know, people have trouble trying to find it, maybe they'll just break down and order it because they've whipped themselves enough into a frenzy to try to bootleg the fight. Maybe they'll actually order it too, and maybe there was time
spent
on that.
So you're claiming this was a worked outage?
I'm just saying they announced yesterday what seemed to be the plan and the excuse for that delay last night. So just saying.
Wow.
Not saying, but I'm just saying.
We're going to head to a break, everybody. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Is here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you're not a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, here's a look at what you missed this week. Friday, last Friday, After Dark Radio talking demons. Last Saturday, we had Wrestling Observer Radio with Tom Lawler. Filthy Tom Lawler running down UFC 186. And by the way, starting tomorrow, weekly, every single Monday, the Filthy Tom Lawler Show on Figure 4 Daily, talking pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, New Japan. He just watched CMLL. We're going to be talking all of that with Filthy Tom in his big debut tomorrow. Last Sunday, Brian and Vinny's show with my buddy Sean reviewing Extreme Rules, a Wrestling Observer Radio reviewing Extreme Rules, and news on the John Jones situation. Monday, an Observer Radio reviewing Raw, the death of Vern Gagne, more on John Jones. Tuesday, Brian and Vinny and Craig reviewed Raw, Extreme Rules. We did a contest. Monday, Nitro and his brand new breaking audio on John Jones and a Figure 4 Daily with Bobby Roode. Three shows in one day last Tuesday for subscribers. Wednesday, Wrestling Observer Radio, John Jones, Lucha Underground, and SmackDown talked about. Thursday, Wrestling Observer Radio with Jim Cornette, as well as a Brian and Vinny show with Granny. We average two shows a day for subscribers. Subscribers get every show we've ever done. That's 7,000 audio shows for you to download at any time if you sign up right now. $10.99 at WrestlingObserver.com. Coming up this week, by the way, both on Wrestling Observer Live here for free and also members only, we've got EC3 of TNA. It's going to be on the show on Tuesday. We'll do a Figure Four Daily for subscribers with him afterwards, an extended interview. And Kurt Angle is coming up on the 14th of May. Mike Tenay is coming up on the 21st of May. We've got so much great stuff coming up only for subscribers. So sign up today and do not miss out. WrestlingObserver.com. More audio than you'd ever know what to do with. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's someone who does not want to talk about Tom Lawler, that jabroni.
Wow. You know that you're going to see Tom Lawler in May and he's a fighter and he'll whip your ass?
Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. He's not a very good fighter, so we'll see about that.
Wow. Wow.
But the reason I'm calling, and I want to stay anonymous and not give my name because of what I'm going to talk about regarding the fight from last night, is I was not going to pay for it, and I had to go to work like right after the fight, so I wasn't going to go out to see it, so I decided to illegally stream it. And usually I have a pretty good site that's pretty good about that when I watch UFC shows. And I couldn't even get that site to load. I found about four other ones. They were all horrible. So I'm thinking so many people were illegally downloading it that it just made it a mess for everybody. I even had a French one that didn't even work that great. So besides probably making a lot of money, it's also probably going to be...
Sounds like a usual Saturday night in Vegas for Ed.
...fight ever.
Hey, Ed, I just wanted to mention that if you follow the, which I don't, by the way, but I have been told, and honest to God, this is true, I don't illegally stream anything, but I have been told that if you take like the most successful movies of the year, the ones that the vast majority, the most people paid for, those are also the same movies that are the most pirated. So I would not be surprised, as I said at the beginning of the show, I'll bet this was the most pirated pay-per-view event of all time. And at the same time, I'll bet it was also the most purchased pay-per-view event of all time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
And you know what? And this brings up just something that seemed to be
Ed's calling from a wind tunnel, so I'm disconnecting him. Go ahead, Mike.
That seemed to be the buzz in some places. And I never thought about this. I heard a lot about Periscope this week because
yeah,
of
what
the
is this?
It is.
I'm a 39 year old man. I heard about it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and I didn't really know either till this week. It's an app that has been put out by Twitter, and I've started to see tweets from like Robert Flores from ESPN. Will you know use this? It's a it's basically a streaming service.
I know what it is. Okay, yeah.
Offered by it. It's basically like FaceTime without using FaceTime. If you have Apple where you're basically, talking out there and just the difference with this one is people can see you recording, but you can't see them. But what seemed to be the buzz was that people were using that and they were streaming their parties, which, or streaming their thoughts on the event. And because of Baltimore, the riots this week, a lot of people were using that. And what's the other, not used, what is that? The service where people were watching people stream events.
What in the heck are you talking about?
I'm trying to
YouTube?
It's like a YouTube, except for people would like stream their lives or they'll be streaming their TV shows or video games or any
FaceTime?
Of that sort of stuff. Well, no, there was a YouTube, sir, or there was a.
Can someone born in the 90s please tweet us and tell us what Mike is trying to talk about here?
Yeah. But in any event, that's essentially what this is. And, instead of needing a website for it, all you need is this app. And it was put out by Twitter, and people were using this for the riots in Baltimore and, like, on the ground, type of service. But apparently last night, many of those same people, or not those same people, but people who use this Periscope app were using it and holding it up at the TV and streaming it out there that way. So I don't know if
things are always going to happen, but that's a big inconvenience.
How do you stop that?
You can't stop it. You can't stop it. But I mean, it's like, okay, this is sort of what I've always thought about some of these things. Yeah, if you really want to go to the trouble of FaceTiming a pay-per-view to somebody and you're going to hold the thing up there or put it up against something and film the TV for FaceTime for like 3 hours. Knock yourself out. It's a lot easier to find somebody's house to go to at the end of the day. And I think that that's really what a lot of people did. Is it piracy when 15 people show up to watch one pay-per-view?
You're saying that people are trying to find other people's house, although, but you also said at the beginning of this show, people tried to do that. Nobody wanted to get off the pot on ordering it. And then those people decided when they were home and alone, well, hell, I guess I'll order the fight then.
Well, sure. But I'm sure that a lot of those people also immediately called their friends and said, come over quick and bring $10. I'm going to get this stupid show.
But Ustream, Justin TV, and live stream would fall into the category of what I was trying to think of.
Yes, that is. Those would all be streaming services.
Get off my lawn.
Let's go to Cincinnati. You're on the air. How are you listening to the show, and who is this?
My name's Todd, and I am listening on SiriusXM Satellite Radio.
All right. What's up, Todd?
I just wanted to call and register a small complaint about WWE Network. Love the network, but why do they keep giving it away? Why?
Well, listen, I can explain it to you. I want to thank you very much for the call. Here's the deal with the WWE Network. A lot of places like Netflix, Hulu, for example, all of these different services, at any time, you can sign up for a free trial if you've never signed up for the service before. It's 365 days a year. If I decide I don't have Hulu, I want to give it a shot, I can go and I can do a free trial, and then I start getting charged. Now, with the WWE Network, they can't do that because they're doing monthly live pay-per-view events. And they don't want a deal where everybody just on the day of the Royal Rumble or on the day of SummerSlam or whatever, they go up there and that's when they do their thing. So instead, because they have these live events, and they have three in particular that are big, SummerSlam, the Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. And because they have those three big events, they can't do the 365 days a year deal where you can sample a free month. So my theory is that what they're doing is this free month gimmick is going to be every single month except for August for SummerSlam, January for the Royal Rumble, and either March or April, whichever month that WrestleMania falls into. But other than that, it's going to be a free month every single time. Now, here is the problem with this, which is why a lot of people are getting very upset about it. I'm not sure exactly how the technology works, but Netflix and Hulu are pretty good technologically with you only getting one shot at that free. I think it's only a free week, by the way. It's not even a free month. They're pretty good with, it's not as easy as just like you get a new email address and you can do it. I don't know if they log your IP. I don't know if they, somebody said that there's like some sort of once you use the device, there's something that I guess gets patched into your device or something like that. So that device can no longer get the free month. Whatever the technology is, I've been told it's much more difficult to try to get Netflix free all the time by just getting new different emails. It is not that way with the WWE Network. If you get a free April, apparently you can just get a brand new email, and with Gmail and Yahoo and whatever, it's pretty easy. All you have to do is just get a new email address and try again the next month. Obviously, if you're using the same credit card, they may put the clamp down on you. I don't know, but I mean, you could go to the store and get a prepaid card and probably find a way to get around it. So if WWE Network had a great way to ensure that you could only do this one time, and in order to try to get your second free month, you would have to go to a whole giant rigmarole, changing the IP in your house and getting a new device, whatever the case might be, then yeah, maybe people wouldn't be so upset. But there's so many people that have figured out how easy it is to keep getting free months that the people that are actually paying every month are getting very upset about it. And I don't know if there's an easy solution aside from WWE severely trying to upgrade however they're running these free specials and preventing people from getting it more than once.
It's just insane to me that you would go two straight months. I don't care if these are the post-WrestleMania malaise months anyway. You actually had a plan and all that stuff going into Extreme Rules.
If you could only do it once, Mike, it shouldn't matter, right?
I guess it's just
like a free trial for any other service. They're just doing it differently. They're saying it's a free month. They're saying the month is free instead of you get a free month whenever you want to do the trial. That's a difference. But
are you going to be, because of some of the technological issues that they've had, can you really believe that? And I'm asking you this as a possible shareholder or a possible buyer of stock.
Dude, if
I
were a shareholder, it would be like, you need to make sure that you can only do 1 month, and you also need to make sure that everybody that has a network, at most, you can have two, you can have the network airing in two places. Like, I have it up here in my room, and I have an Apple TV downstairs in the living room. So sometimes at the end of Observer Live, I need to watch the network up here while other people are watching it downstairs before I run downstairs. So I think that two places, I think you should be able to, I think two people should be able to be logged on at the same time, just in case you have two people in the house watching it in different rooms. But the idea that like 15 people can all be using the same password to watch the WWE network, if I were a shareholder, I would be furious that they haven't closed that loophole.
Yes, and they've made those missteps, and they had talked about it, but the fact that it was not even considered in the first place, that they let it get to the point that it did, were some of the claims, and I mean, there's no reason not to believe those claims, you know, that people have made about 10 people on it and 15 people on it, and WWE even acknowledged that there were multiple people on them. What have they done to stop that? I think, again, if I'm looking at this from an investor point of view, if this is so valuable and your company is so valuable and you moved your whole economic plan basically to this, why are you then giving it away? Because it does not take a rocket scientist, I think, or a grand financial planner to look and see that they seem to be spiking these things or attempting to spike them before they have some sort of public meeting, whether it be WrestleMania or whether it be their quarterlies. And the fact that the churn level is still where it's at, the fact that you are giving away back-to-back months. When did you decide to give away May? You did it at the end of April. So, you know, at least that's going to be the public perception, because there's no reason not to believe that, well, we better just keep this thing going.
Well, the
How
public
does that make it look if you're a subscriber or if you're a shareholder?
Well, the public is upset because, and we have to head to a break. I'll make this very quick. If I go into a restaurant and everyone's paying for food, I'm not upset. If I go into the restaurant and half the people are eating for free and I have to pay, I'm pissed off. And the public has the opinion that a lot of people are getting all of these months for free. And if they could convince the public that you can only get it once, I don't think people would be so upset. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Did you see the recent tweet, Mike, from Shawn Michaels?
No, I have not. What's up?
Oh, really? He tweeted a photograph of himself with Granny's favorite feller, Joel Osteen. Apparently, he was on Joel Osteen's radio show talking about his new book.
I'll listen to that. Why not? He's everywhere talking about that new book on JR's show, on Steve Austin's podcast, and him hanging out with Joel Osteen, considering they've got their love of Jesus in common and their love of Texas. Perfect fit there.
That's right. Joel Osteen and Shawn Michaels spreading the word of the Lord. Don't forget, later on tonight, we're going to be back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Actually, later tonight is technically the Brian and Vinny show. Only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, Vinny and I are going to be running down TNA Impact as well as Ring of Honor. And due to popular demand on the board, we're going to play a game tonight. Vinny has not watched SmackDown, and I told him not to read the spoilers either. And so I'm going to go over all of the segments, but I'm not going to say what happened. And Vinny is going to try to guess, knowing how WWE books and how pointless SmackDown is, Vinny is going to try to guess what happened in all of the segments. I actually am very excited to try this game here tonight.
You got
to
get some the music from the match game to go along with this.
Oh, I got some fun contest music, don't get me wrong. But yes, we're going to try that tonight on the Brian and Vinny Show, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. Sign up today, you won't regret it. I promise you, you won't regret it. We are out of time. Back tomorrow, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern with more. Thanks everybody at Sports Byline. Mike, as always, all of the callers. Back tomorrow with Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.